Alexa, got a job to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Good morning. Let us prepare our hearts to celebrate these mysteries of our faith. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. A reading from the book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented 7 sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a young, handsome man to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord. The responsorial psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the man born blind, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and gained his sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he see now?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, if he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, you are the man's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know what God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this man is from. The man answered and said to him, this is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, you were born totally in sin and are trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord, and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do not see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see, so your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. I want to welcome all of our listeners, all those who are watching. I have a bit more to say today. It's a long gospel as well. So in the comfort of your own homes or wherever you are, be comfortable. I like to be comfortable in my home, and perhaps you can, for the first time, get a coffee during a homily. So I've written this morning, this message for all of us. Think about how impossible it is for us to imagine what it might be like to be blind from birth. The man in today's gospel never saw anything. He could never have seen a blue sky or white snow or a patch of green grass. He never saw an orange sunset, a red rose, or a bright yellow dandelion. He never saw a person. He never saw a black cat, a spotted dog, or a gray horse. He never saw a brown cow. He was blind from birth. Aristotle said, of all the senses we have, the most valuable is sight, because without it, we cannot distinguish reality. The man born blind is also a symbol of our original sin. We were all born blind. St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in today's second reading, you were once in darkness, but now you see the light of the world. Our baptism has transformed all of us into children of light. So Jesus said to the blind man, "Go wash in the pool." The blind man goes to the pool, which is symbolic of our baptism. Then the gospel tells us he came back and he was able to see. The blind man experienced the power of Jesus Christ. The blind man is healed. Jesus is divine. Then the gift of his sight allows the man to grasp the truth better, to move to the truth, because he can now distinguish reality. He moves from seeing Jesus as the man they call Jesus to a prophet, to a man from God, and finally the Lord whom he worships. It's a beautiful progression. That's why I read the long version. We are all being moved right now. For how long, we don't know. But we are being moved to see things differently. Or to be reminded to see things again. I remember an influential teacher years back. He said the single biggest threat to humanity's existence is a virus. How long, he asked us kids, can our immune systems continue to adapt? Because he said the virus will always adapt to survive. Anyway, these days reminded me fondly of that good high school education. I've seen a lot of different things in different days in the past, and you have too. This coronavirus pandemic has made me see the beauty of the body, the importance of the immune system, or should I say, the wonder of the human body created by God. I've seen, and you've seen, how fragile any one of us can become. We often think that we are not really vulnerable. And you know, I've always seen my health as important. I exercise daily. I do what is right for my health. You do as well. But the last days have reminded me to see that I have a responsibility for other people's health. A responsibility to public health. That's why Bishop Kagan has directed us to do all that we've done here in the diocese. In justice, we did it, and in charity, he wrote, for the safety of others. You know, all of my priorities as your pastor have been reduced in my mind to really two simple priorities: our safety as a parish and our stability as a future parish. I'll meet with my staff tomorrow morning. Now that we've established safety through all the many guidelines we have, my staff and I will brainstorm together so that we can establish stability for our future. This parish has always been and will always be a gift. We will certainly meet together more frequently in these days to come than we ever have in recent years. Our office hours will change. My staff will work in shifts that are practical for social distancing. Please be tuned in to all of our social media platforms for reports of our work. We're still working for you here at St. Wenceslaus. Stay tuned in to our Facebook page, our website, our parish app. Our bulletins will continue, But it's often old news by the time it gets to you, as things change so quickly these days. I never thought I'd see pretty much everything I'm doing now reduced to these two priorities, our safety and our stability. And let me ask you, what are you seeing differently during these days? The rose vestment I'm wearing today on this fourth Sunday of Lent reminds us that it is Laetare Sunday. Laetare means to rejoice. So what do we have to be joyful about today as I look at this empty church and as you look at your screen? We have a lot to be joyful about. We can be joyful that Almighty God is in charge. Not as man sees does God see, we heard in our first reading. We can be joyful that God's will be done. We can be joyful for all the order our church leadership has brought to this time of disorder and a bit of confusion. And we can be joyful for how our faith in Jesus Christ has brought us peace and comfort during these days of fear and a lot of uncertainty. We can be joyful that we will celebrate Holy Week and Easter somewhere. We can be joyful that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real, and Jesus Christ lives forever. As Americans, during this really crazy time in our country, we can be joyful that our citizenship is ultimately in heaven. And we can be joyful that we are being challenged to see these days somehow as a gift. I remember often how Saint Mother Teresa always taught and lived that everything that comes our way in life, good or bad, everything is a gift. We can be joyful for our health if we have it. We can be joyful for our heightened concern and love for our family and friends during these days. And as I said this morning, we can be joyful. Our morning coffee still tastes good. We can be joyful that we are being reminded to see really what's important. And as we now turn to the liturgy of the Eucharist, we can be joyful that we are being reminded again of the words of St. Paul to always be thankful, and the often repeated words of our blessed Lord, be not afraid. Amen. Let's now bring our prayers before God the Father. We will first pray our creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us now bring our prayers before God the Father. We pray for the whole Christian people, that in this sacred time they may be more abundantly nourished by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We pray to the Lord. We pray for the whole world, that in lasting tranquility and peace, our days may truly become the acceptable time of grace and salvation. We pray to the Lord. For sinners and the neglectful, that in this time of reconciliation they may return to Christ. We pray to the Lord. We pray for ourselves, that God may stir up in our hearts courage. We pray to the Lord. And we pray for our loved ones who have gone before us, that they may rest in peace in the loving arms of God. We pray to the Lord. Almighty God, hear the prayers of your people. Grant our prayers as you give us every good thing, through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we receive this bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands, that will become for us the bread of life. By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we receive this wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands, that will become our spiritual drink. Lord God, we ask you to receive us and be pleased with the sacrifice we offer you with humble and contrite hearts. Lord, wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Pray that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. We place before you with joy these offerings, which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may both faithfully revere them and present them to you as is fitting for the salvation of all the world, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By the mystery of the Incarnation, he has led the human race that walked in darkness into the radiance of the faith, and has brought those born in slavery to ancient sin through the waters of regeneration to make them your adopted children. Therefore, all creatures of heaven and earth sing a new song in adoration, and we, with all the host of angels, cry out and without end acclaim. Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus Dominus Deus Sabaoth, plene sunt caelia et terra, gloria tua, hosanna in excelsis. Benedictus, qui venit in nomine Domini, hosanna in excelsis. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope and David our Bishop and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. On you stay, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. On you stay, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. On you stay, qui tollis peccata mundi, dona nobis pacem. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. May the body of Christ keep me safe. An act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who enlighten everyone who comes into this world, illuminate our hearts, we pray, with the splendor of your grace, that we may always ponder what is worthy and pleasing to your majesty, and love you in all sincerity, through Christ our Lord. I want to welcome all of our visitors and guests who are watching a St. Wenceslaus Mass for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time. I welcome all of you, and I hope you have a good week, and we will be in touch with you, and I ask that you all, and I'll pray that you all stay well. We will pray the Memorare, as Bishop Kagan has asked us to do at all of our Masses during these days. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go forth, the Mass is ended.